Cape Talk.
A world view from London.
And the world view with John Adley is brought to you by OUTsurance. SMS out to 30674 now and you could save on car insurance. And if you don't, ask them for 500 Rand. Good morning, John Adley. Hope you are well. Let's start in Egypt, where we have negotiations between Israel and Hamas for a ceasefire in that Gaza war. But Hamas is under pressure to accept the latest ceasefire deal.
Yeah, I think that's right, Lester. There appears to be a renewed sense of urgency now to get this over the line before it's too late. The United States has described it as a generous ceasefire deal, and a Hamas official has reportedly said the group has no major issues with the new Israeli proposals. As you say, they've been under discussion in Cairo. One sticking point had been a demand from Hamas for a permanent ceasefire, with Israel insisting on just a pause in the fighting. And it's hoped that the new wording of the deal, which calls for the restoration of sustainable calm, will be enough of a compromise. Now, the US Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, says Hamas has been presented with an extraordinarily generous offer by Israel. And he was speaking at the World Economic Forum in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. And also there was UK Foreign Secretary, Lord David Cameron, and he said it never pays to be optimistic on peace in a very difficult situation, but it does seem to me there is now, let's be frank, a pretty generous offer of a sustained 40-day ceasefire and the release of potentially thousands of Palestinian prisoners in return for the release of the hostages who've been held in captivity now for over 200 days. So all eyes on Hamas to see if it will formally accept the deal. I don't want to fall into any trap by being, you know, overly optimistic. It's a wait and watch, isn't it?
I do not condone corruption anyway, but I feel a little bit of a tinge of, oh, it's not just us when there is another world leader that gets gripped in a corruption scandal. And this time it's Spain's prime minister, who has now resigned over corruption claims linked to his wife.
Yeah, Pedro Sanchez says that, he had threatened to resign following accusations of corruption against his wife, which he described as toxic slander. And the case was brought by a group linked to the far right. Pedro Sanchez said in a speech that he will continue in his role with greater strength. So the threat of resignation was sort of on the table for 5 days, which was really rather odd. And what they're saying is it's really not done Spain any favours at all and thrown the country into political turmoil. The leader of the main opposition People's Party in Spain, Alberto Núñez Feijóo, said that Mr. Sanchez had condemned Spain to days of international embarrassment and domestic uncertainty. Since that threat to resign last Wednesday, the day after, Madrid's public prosecutor called for the investigation into the corruption claims against his wife to be shelved for lack of evidence. But there was a lot of support for the Spanish prime minister. There was a series of demonstrations over the weekend calling for him to stay, but many did expect him either to resign or to call a confidence motion. But it seems he's staying put, and all the speculation over his future caused a lot of turmoil, especially as it's less than a year since Spain's last general election. So, you know, there's little appetite for another big political upheaval in that country.
And then finally, a gold pocket watch makes the highest amount ever reached at an auction for a piece of Titanic memorabilia. And it's believed to have belonged to John Astoria, whose family name is connected to the famous Waldorf Astoria Hotel, at the time one of the richest men in the world.
Yeah, certainly the richest man on board the Titanic. And they're pretty certain that this watch did belong to him. They recovered his body, I think, 5 days later with the watch on him. And it was sold to a private collector in the US by auctioneers here in the UK. And it's the highest amount ever paid for Titanic memorabilia, 1.1 million UK pounds. And yeah, you're right, 47-year-old businessman John Jacob Astor from that really wealthy, famous Astor family. He went down with the ship after seeing his new wife, Madeline, onto a lifeboat. The feeling was that he didn't think initially that there was so much danger to the ship. He was last seen smoking a cigarette and chatting with a fellow passenger on board. The previous highest amount paid for Titanic artifacts was a similar amount of money, over £1 million, for a violin that was played as the ship sank. That sold at the same auction house back in 2013. And at the same auction of the gold watch, they auctioned off the case for that violin. And that went for £360,000. Extraordinary amounts of money being raised. And the auctioneer, Andrew Aldridge, says these prices fetched by the Titanic memorabilia are absolutely incredible and reflect not just the importance of the artifacts themselves and their rarity, but they also show the enduring appeal and fascination with the Titanic story 112 years on. He makes the intriguing point that there are 2,200 subplots because you've got every man, woman and child on board with a story to tell, and the memorabilia tells those stories today, and people want to get their hands on it, as long as they've got enough money, of course.
I've just told by our producer, Bruce, last week we celebrated Freedom Day, first democratic election, and Bruce brought in an original 1994 ballot paper. He now messages me and says, Lester, speaking of the Titanic, I have a piece of coal from the Titanic. Really, Bruce? Bruce says he can, it's been verified that it was a piece of coal from the Titanic.
I'll put in a bid for it.
I know what he's getting for Christmas. Coal. John Adley, looking forward to chatting to you tomorrow. Have a good one and stay well.